Well, today over at Life Church, they are celebrating the life of Pastor Mike Hill. If you know Mike, I just now began to know him, actually just like 2 months ago. But they are processing and going through their services today, for their pastor has passed away. And so I want to pray for them, because I know they're going to be missing their leader over there. He's been there. I think he was the one who started it over there, if I'm not mistaken. But, he's been there for quite a while. So I want to go ahead and pray for him and their church, as they're going to have to figure out who's going to be their next pastor over there, and all the loss and the sadness that they're all going through right now. And so, Father, we just ask, Lord, for our brothers and sisters, Lord, that attend Life Church. We want to lift them up to you today, as we know that Mike is with you today, and just want to lift him up. The work and the service that he's done for you, Lord, at Life Church. I pray, Father, Lord, you just continue to allow it to grow there. And I pray, Father, for them as they process and go through their loss of their leader and their pastor. Lord, I know their hearts are broken there, and it was just all of a sudden they had a pastor, and the next day they didn't. And so I lift them all up to you today. We lift them up to you, our brothers and sisters at Christ. In Christ, the Life Church, I just pray, Father, for a blessing on them today, even as hard as it is for them today. May you bless them and with your attendance during their services and their time today as they celebrate the life of Mike and celebrate what's going on with Life Church. We pray for them as family members of yours as well. And we ask it all in Christ's name, who brings all believers together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You've got to remember, it's about kingdom work. It's about kingdom work. It's about not just one church, but it's all the churches that believe and follow Christ, that we all in this together. So, so they are processing that today. But we are here today at New Life. We're here, and I don't have my running room here, so I'm going to have to keep myself kind of contained here. But if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Psalms chapter 40. Psalms chapter 40. Sometimes you, as a pastor, you find topics you want to preach on, and other topics, you know, the Lord just tells you, don't this, and you're not preaching on that. You just got to be a pastor that a preacher needs to be attentive to what the Holy Spirit is leading them to preach. Whether they want to preach on, might want to go in another area, but if the Holy Spirit leads, you need to be in that area. So today, this is an area that I believe the Holy Spirit has led me to preach. It's not an area that I was intended to go. It happens more probably happens more times than I wanted to admit, but it doesn't matter. I'm just going to follow what the Holy Spirit wants. And so we're going to be in chapter 40 of Psalms today. It is a Psalm of David. It is a Psalm that David has written. It is a Psalm that is it can be tough in certain areas for him, as we read some of the things that goes on. This is a highly, I just call this a very emotional roller coaster. It's got all the goods, it's got the others, it's got everything in it. And it's kind of like, as it kind of titles itself, a Thanksgiving, but also a cry for help. You know that you can be a believer and be in a hard spot. You know that, right? As a believer, you can be in a hard spot in your life. As a believer, you can have some hard things happening in your life. And but also know, you know who you cry out to. But I want to share some things for you as we jump into this piece here. And we know why Christmas is, right? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And it started that God, when he gave his son Jesus came upon the earth. It wasn't that he came as a man. He started very humbly with humility, and he came as a baby. And it all comes to this piece, that God, men would be saved, women would be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ for the sins that they commit. That they can be forgiven, and we can have restoration and be restored the way that God wanted it when he made man, Adam and Eve, that we can be that we can be forgiven. And so I want to share some things here in Psalms chapter 40, but I want to share also some things, just a little bit about sin here for a minute. Three things that I just want to put together, three things that happen when we sin. When we sin, it puts space between us and God. It just does. Okay? It just really puts a space between us and God in our lives. It just puts a wedge between us and God. It really does. It puts distance between us and God. Now, the Bible does say that God will never leave us or forsake us. So God's not moving. It's just us. We're the ones moving. We're the ones moving away from God when we sin. And so there becomes a distance between us and God. And the second part of it is that when we sin, it hinders God's activity in our life. It hinders God's activity in our life. And you're like, why isn't God using me? Why isn't God? And we as Christians, we struggle with sin. And so we can find out that it hinders God working in our lives, and it can. And also, when we sin and we're not dealing with it, what we're doing is we're giving power to the enemy. And the enemy, whatever it may be, it gets stronger. And so sin begins to get stronger in our lives. And then we get something that we're like, what? Where did that come from? And it becomes a stronghold. The longer you keep that sin, you don't take it to the Lord, it will be a strong. It can become a stronghold in your life. And this is why it's so important to deal with the sins. This is your sins. You committed them. I committed mine. You committed yours. We need to be careful that we make sure that we take care of our sins and take care of them with Christ. Amen. All right. So we're going to jump in here. So there's some. This is one of those chapters. If you don't read the whole thing, you're going to miss really what it means. You're going to think you know what it means, but you're going to miss it because you didn't read the whole thing. So here we are in verse 1. We're going to go through these verses. And I just want to go verse 1 here. It says, David says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me, and he heard my cry for help. This is a man who knows God. This is a man who knows God. His confidence is in God. His faith is his faith. He has a faith in God. And I want to tell you what faith brings in your life. Faith brings hope. This is why the world has no hope. They put hope in all kinds of things. But we as believers, we put our faith in God. So our hope is in Him. So he knows that. He says, I waited patiently. He has this as a testimony of his life. And he goes in verse 2. He brought me up from a desolate pit out of the muddy clay and set my feet on the rock, making my steps secure. And we love that part where he sets his feet upon the rock and makes them secure. But I want to share with you, he says that he brought me up from a desolate pit. That's a hard place to be. It's a tough place. It's a place of a lot of stress and anxiety. It's a muddy clay. That means he's stuck. He's stuck into some things. He's working through trying to process what's going on here. And he's just in a really bad spot. There's seasons in our lives where we can struggle. There's seasons in our life, and some of our seasons where sometimes we get into a dry spiritual season, or become spiritually dry. We become kind of spiritually empty. And so we have to be careful that we don't let that take hold. You don't stop doing the things that you need to be doing with the Lord. You don't stop coming to church because you're in a spiritual funk, or you're in a spiritual depression, or you're spiritually drained, or you're just spiritually dry, and you're feeling empty. It's not the time to stop, but that's what most people do. That's what most people do. And they go out there and they live life and they start having all these problems, and then they come running back to the Lord. The Lord loves it when we run back. He's a God of love and compassion and forgiveness and all those awesome things. But sometimes we go through a season, not because the season is upon us, but because we allow that season to last longer than it should have. Because we won't get it right with God when we should have. And so he says, but God is not, he knows that God has brought him up out of these pits. He has this life that he's had with God, and these testimonies come, but these pits are tough. They're hard. They're a hard place that he is in his life. But then he goes on in verse 3. He says, he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God, and many will see and fear, and they will trust in the Lord. So here's the part here. He says, he put a new song in my mouth. What does that mean? It's a change happening. There's a change that's happening. Where I was going through all this hard stuff and God brought me out of it. And now there's a new song. There's a change in my life. There's a change going on in the life that I'm living now. And I like it. And what happens is you begin to praise God over that. Does this seem like a path that many of you have followed before? I hope so. I mean, it's a path that I have been down several times. But I also know that my past praising the Lord, it can help me. I can be reminded of what God has done for me in the past. But whatever I'm going through today, I need to deal with it today. Okay? My past testimonies may be an encouragement, but they're not going to fix the thing today. Okay? It's not the testimony itself. It's God Himself. And then he says, how happy is anyone who puts his trust in the Lord and has not turned to the proud or to those who run after lies. Here we find that we have two types of people. One that will put their trust in the Lord, and the other people that will just run off and chase the world and figure out how to find other people, other sources to try to help them in the situation they're in. But I want to tell you that when we put our trust in God, you know what it does? It gives us confidence. He gives us confidence. My biggest confidence in my life is not that I'm good at anything or I've done anything great. My greatest confidence is that I know God can do all things. That I know God is who He says He is. My confidence is that I have eternity and I have salvation. And because you are a Christian, if you're a Christian, you have salvation. That's your confidence, knowing that God's promises are real in your life. So that whole trust gives us confidence in God, but it also gives us a hope. Hope for the things that we believe that haven't come yet, that we know that God has promised. It gives us courage. It gives us courage. 9/11 happened. I still had courage in the Lord, but the world was falling apart. And you know what happened? They said all the churches began to get full. This one didn't, but a lot of churches began to get full. And the next thing you know, 2 or 3 weeks later after 9/11, everybody just kind of went back out and did their own thing. And so here it is. When we have crisis in the country, people want to flock back to the church sometimes. And it's a good thing, but then a lot of them will fade out. And also the preachers have to be ready to preach the word too, not a fluffed up message. Amen. So we see here that we need to make sure that we know that our hope, this trust gives us hope. It also gives us courage. And also, when we put our trust in the Lord, it gives us blessings. There's a lot you get when you go with the Lord. There is a lot that you get when you give your life to Christ. There's a lot that you get when you follow in God's will. And the world doesn't have those things. They don't have those things. They don't have those things. And a side note, I've sat at the deathbed from different people in their lives. Sometimes people will sing a hymn song. Sometimes it'll be that, but you'll feel a peace in the room. That person's a believer. Sometimes a person will say, "I'm ready to go. I want to go home. I want to go see my mom. I want to go see my dad. I want to see Jesus. I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to go home. I want to go home." And the only ones that are really hanging on are the ones that love on this side of heaven are here. It's holding, wants to hold back. But I'm going to tell you, when I get to someone that doesn't know the Lord, it's a scary place. There is no peace. Not singing hymn songs. They're saying things that they're giving themselves false promises. But with the Lord, when we trust, we know that His stuff is the real deal. He says in verse 5, "Lord, my God, You have done many things, Your wondrous works and Your plans for us. None can compare with You. If I were to report and speak of them, they are more than can be told." He's saying, I've got a lot of testimonies, and I can share all these things God has done in my life, and I want to share these things. And I can share them, and there's more than I can even just share all. There's just too many. But he shares them, and he's open, and he does that. And David is talking about that. But we're still not at the moment where this chapter is leading. He says in verse 8, he says, "I delight to do Your will, my God, and Your instruction is deep within me." He says, I want to do the will. Listen, if you're not in the will of God, you're not doing the will of God, that's where you need to be. And some people think, the will of God is to be a teacher or a preacher. No, the will of God is to live the life that God has set forth in front of you. And all of us have the same, main pieces, that we are to love the Lord with all our heart, mind, and soul. We are to love our neighbor as ourselves. We are to show compassion. We are to show love. We are to show kindness and forgiveness and gentleness toward people. We're to be all those things and live a life and raise our children up in the ways of the Lord. We have a blanket of responsibility for all of us as believers to be the light in the darkness. And then there's all the additives that God adds in our lives for His will and callings or whatever it is, the spiritual gifts that He gives to you. It's a whole lot that God gives. That's why He says, "I delight to do Your will, my God, and Your instruction is deep within me." He knows that. And you have the Holy Spirit that's deep within you. You know what I mean? You know what you should do and what you shouldn't. But He says this, verse 9, "I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly." He says, in the great crowd, I share these things. See, I do not keep my mouth closed. He's not a believer that doesn't share. He's the believer that shares. He's not ashamed of God. He wants to share. And he says, as you know, Lord, I did not hide your righteousness, which means he lived his godly life on the outside. He did it in my heart. He says, my righteousness in my heart. I did not hide it just in my heart. I spoke about your faithfulness and your salvation, and I did not conceal your constant love and your truth from the great assembly. So what are these things that he shares? He shares this. He proclaims righteousness, the faithfulness, and salvation, and constant love, and truth. All those things are a part of God. And then he says in verse 11, Lord, you do not withhold your compassion from me. Your constant love and truth will always guard me. There's this awesome things that are happening in David's life, just like it's happening in your life. And then we get to verse 12. For troubles without number have surrounded me. My iniquities, which means sins, have overtaken me. I am unable to see. They are more than the hairs on my head, and my courage leaves me. Here's where we find the problem. Here's where we find David in his problem. David, because all these things about God, just like you, just like me. But he's also found himself, he's got lots of troubles. You have lots of troubles? Sometimes it's troubles that is not your fault, but sometimes there are troubles that are our own fault. There are troubles that come and happen on us because we make bad choices, we make bad decisions, or people are trying to come at us or what have you. I just want to remind you that there are believers that are from the IRS. Did you know that? Yeah. There are believers. I don't know how you wanted that job as a believer, but anyway, the IRS, there are believers in the IRS. Did you know there are believers that are police officers? But we butcher them. Especially if you did time, you butchered them. Well, they put your son or your daughter into jail, but they did something. It doesn't mean to stop loving your son and daughter because they did a crime and they went to jail. But I'm just saying, we butcher all these people that were part of that process because here it is, because we love someone and we got hurt through it. I'm just telling you, there are believers in all professions. And God wants it that way so that those people in those professions will also come to Christ as well. And David's got a problem. He's got troubles. I don't like problems. I don't like troubles. I don't know about you, but I don't like troubles. But I also know that I can't put my head in a bag and act like they're not there. You got to deal with them. We have to deal with them. And so David is taking this approach. He's beginning to open up. He says to God, he's saying, my troubles are without number. For troubles without number have surrounded me. I am surrounded by troubles. I am surrounded by troubles. And this is where people, when they get troubles, this is what people do. Some people will go to the liquor store. Maybe you've done that. Some people will go down and find their dealer and speed dial their deal, you know, get a hold of the dealer and get what they want. Because the troubles are there and they don't want those troubles. They feel like it's going to. Some people will go ahead and they got troubles. They'll just trash that relationship and go find somebody else. But they've always got to be in a relationship. Or they'll trash their job. They'll get it. So we have these things that happen. And people want to go and try to find some way to fix those problems and those troubles, but they don't go. But as believers, we still have troubles. But here it is. David knows that he has God in his life, but he still has troubles. How can that be? How can we have trouble? And as we say that God has all these promises for us, yes, but we live in a broken world and we are also broken people. We're also people that are still sinners. We still sin, and we still do things. We still make bad comments. We still say things about people we shouldn't. We do things we shouldn't do. And here he says, there are troubles without. They're just surrounding me. I'm surrounded. But he also says this. Now he gets personal. He's not just talking about his troubles. Now he says, my iniquities. David is saying, I've got sin in my life. And maybe some of this troubles have come up on some of the sins. So maybe some of it's a mixture, whatever it may be. But it's a mess in his life. And he knows it. And he may look great on the outside. But on the inside, he's a mess. That's what he was saying. He says, on the outside, listen, I proclaim, I'm sharing these things about you, God. I've done these things. You're always there. But I've got these troubles. I got these problems. And he says, my iniquities, listen to this, this is a tough thing, have overtaken me. That means he's saying my sins have overtaken me. They have overtaken me. Sounds like some strongholds are coming. He says, my sins have overtaken me. And he says, I am unable to see. I want to tell you something. There's something that we need to be very, very concerned about. When we have sin in our life, our spiritual vision starts getting out of whack. Our spiritual vision starts, everything becomes blurry. And so if you have sin in your life, don't go into a scene and try to use the spiritual gift of discernment. You're going to mess it all up. You're going to mess it up. If you have the spiritual gift of music and you get up and you sing and you got sin in your life and it's overtaking your life and you're struggling with it, you're going to come up here and you want to sing to God, you want to lead, and you're going to say, why isn't everyone singing? What's going on? And you can put the biggest, nicest smile on your face, but I'm telling you, God is seeing past that. He'll drive that right down to the middle of your soul and into your heart, and you'll know, and he'll convict you, and he'll just have that conviction there, and you'll never be able to get through it until you get right with God. Because God's not impressed on what you say. He's not impressed on how you sing. He's not impressed on how you prepare. He always looks at the heart first. Always examining the hearts of men and women. Always examining his children. Always examining. Because he can give you the talent. He can give you the giftedness. He can give you those things. But it's the heart that he wants. He says, my iniquities have overtaken me. I am unable to see, which means, man, I'm praying, and it just feels like my prayers are not, they're just bouncing all over the place. I haven't felt the touch of the Lord in a long time. I really don't understand why my life is where it's at. But here it is. David gets serious about it, and he says, I've got troubles. They're everywhere. I've got sin in my life. It has overtaken me. I can't even see spiritually. Now, I know I'm not the only one in the room that has been in this place. But the question isn't, have I been in that place? The question is, are you in that place today? He says, they are more than the hairs on my head. When I hear that and I read that, I'm going to tell you, it's just what it is. He says, I basically, in common terms, if it's more than the hairs on my head, basically he's saying, this is out of my control. I can't even, I don't even know what to do. I don't even know what to do. I don't even know how to work that. I don't even know how to process all this stuff. It's just too much for me. And I can't even see spiritually. I can't even handle all this. And this is a big mess. Sometimes as David is a leader. And sometimes people in their Christianity will have this sin thing happen, and they'll take it and think it's okay. I'll just ask for forgiveness. I'll do that. It's going to be okay. And then another one happens over here, and next thing you know, it has escalated. And then you find yourself doing things you said you would never do. Because you try to cover one sin over another sin and try to hide one and try to push one, let me tell you, that's one thing you cannot do. You cannot control sin. Sin, if you're not careful, it will control you. But you can never control sin, but it can control you. And David is working this. He's working it. He says, Lord, this is his plea every time. Lord, be pleased to rescue me. Hurry to help me, Lord. Hurry to help me. Look, what's going on here with David? David's got some problems, but I'm going to tell you, he's got a heart that's, he knows the Lord, and he's saying, Lord, please rescue me. Help me. This is what we've lost in the church today. This is what we've lost in the church today. Lord, please, please, be just rescue me. Help me. Help me. Hurry to help me. Then he says, let those, verse 14, let those who intended to take my life be disgraced and confounded. So now we know there's other people that are involved with some of this. Let those who wish me harm be turned back and be humiliated. Let those who say to me, aha, be appalled because of their shame. There's a piece here. Sometimes in your sin, there can be others. Just because something bad that somebody does sinful to you doesn't mean you do something sinful back. Yeah. I think when David's going through this, when he says, I'm unable to see, they are more than the hairs on my head, it's overtaking me. And we see this part here, let those who intend to take my life be disgraced and confounded. What we're seeing here, we're seeing some really tough things. I think that darkness is ready, they're wanting to destroy him. And these people that's involved with this, none of them are wanting to do God's will. They're not interested in God's will. So this is the whole thing of just darkness coming into, like, it's almost like evil desires just to take him out, just to wipe him out. And that's what evil does. That's what evil does. And there are people, listen, there are people that are not interested in what, when you share the gospel, there's people not interested. There are people that are actually on the aggressive to work against what you're working for in your life. But he goes into verse 16, he's let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. He's able to say this because he knows that he knows who God is. He's able to say this because he's been down those roads of heartbreak. He's been down those roads where he's had sin in his life. He's been restored by the Lord. This is why he can say, I can sing a new song. He says these things, but today he's saying, listen, I've got these things going on. And he says, let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation continue to say the Lord is great. I want you to really listen to me now for a minute. As you grow in your walk with the Lord, you're gonna see that your prayers are gonna change. When you start getting to the part of conviction, when conviction hits and you start dealing with the conviction that God has upon you, the Holy Spirit convicts you for some things you've done and said. You're gonna have a couple of things that's gonna happen. The more you draw closer to the Lord, the more you grow up and you walk with Him, two things are going to happen. Number one, you're going to know, as you grow, you're going to know how strong sin and how powerful sin really is and the effects that it causes on a person. You will. And then with that, you're going to know what it feels like to break the Lord's heart. You're going to know what feels like. And because you know that, and you're close to the Lord, as you grow, as you get older, the second thing is going to happen. You're going to value your salvation even more. You're going to value the gift of forgiveness even more. And your praise is going to be bigger. Your praise is going to grow. Your praise to God is going to get bigger. And when you pray, it's not going to just be, Lord Jesus, thank you for the day. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me for X, Y, and Z. I love you. Thank you. Amen. You're not going to do that. Now, that's a good start. When you know you got something and you've done in your life and you know it wasn't right before God and God's convicted your heart and you're driving your car, you may find a park, you may find a place and you'll pull that car off and you'll have a breakdown. And you'll have a breakdown because you know what you've done before the Lord was wrong and you know you've been harboring it, you know what you got, you know how you've been, you know how you treated your spouse, you know you just got all these troubles that David's talking about. Didn't mention specifically what they were, but he says, I can't even see spiritually. And I want to tell you, you can be going to church every Sunday. You can be going to Sunday school. You can even try to read your Bible, but you know that everything is just not working the way it's supposed to be, because when things aren't working the way they're supposed to be, I want to tell you, that means something ain't right the way it's supposed to be, and that's you and God. These things will not work, and we have to get real. We have to get real when we come to God and repent. We have to get real. And when we have to get real about it, because what we've done against God was real. We hurt people with our words. We do. We hurt people with our words. We hurt people with our actions. We do, and we say things that we shouldn't say. We do things that we shouldn't do. And then we act because we have Jesus, and we just can say, "Forgive me, Lord, I'm good to go," and go. But I want to remind you, we're not the one that does all the talking. Yeah. So as you grow in your walk with the Lord, you'll find that when you seek God's forgiveness, you're going to find that it's not a 2-minute prayer anymore as you grow. It's a 20-minute. Sometimes, let me tell you, sometimes it's a 2 days. Lord, I'm really sorry for what I did. I know I can't believe I did that. And God will allow you to beat yourself up a little bit. Oh, he wouldn't let. Yeah, well, I think that's what he's doing right here. We saw in the beginning what David's going through. And then he says all these good and great positive things. But then he says, this is what I struggle with. This is what I'm having problems. Lord, he says, help me, help me, help me, help me. But he's still going through it as he's writing it. He says, let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation continue to say the Lord is great. Believers are supposed to magnify the name of the Lord. Amen. We are supposed to magnify the name of the Lord. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to do. But when we have sin in our lives, we really don't magnify the Lord. We magnify the Lord after we have a new song, when we're able to say, oh, I'm forgiven, and we're strengthened, and we're refreshed, and we're forgiven, and God sets us back up, and we're strong, and we're right back into doing what we're doing, and God begins to move those things around. But I also want to remind you on a side note that sometimes sin brings forth consequences. God forgives, but sometimes there are consequences to the sins that we commit. A person goes down and robs a bank, comes to Christ, or he's a believer. He got mixed up with the wrong people. He asked forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ will forgive. If we ask and we seek and we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. And that was a bad thing and a criminal thing to do. But does that mean that man's not going to do 3, 5, 10 years in prison? No, justice happens. There's consequences to our sins. So don't think that just because we have salvation that we can just go out there and sin and ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins and there's no consequences going to happen. All you got to do is read the scriptures and you'll see all through where God forgave sins, but there were also consequences, especially David. There's a lot of detail in it. But I love 17. He says this. There's a part of it. He's still here. He's still going through it. He's still saying God is great. God is amazing. But even when we ask for forgiveness of sins, sometimes when God forgives us, we're just not where we want to be at that, right? Even right after that moment. But there's power in that forgiveness. He says, I am oppressed and needy. I want to tell you, when we're oppressed by things that are heavy upon us. It's the weight that we're carrying that we don't have to carry sometimes. We carry things we shouldn't have to carry. He says, I'm oppressed. And he says, I'm needy. I'm needy. I'm needy. I don't think God's ever going to get upset for us when we are needy to God. God's always looking to help. Yeah. He says, may the Lord think of me. He says, you are my helper and my deliverer. My God, do not delay. We see previous scriptures. He said, Lord, help me. Help me. Come to help me. But here he says, my God, do not delay. Don't delay. Come, 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 come. And it really isn't that God needs to come. It's that we need to go back. Because the Bible says he never leaves us, forsakes us. It's us who drifts away. It's us who needs to go back. But he says, you are my helper and my deliverer. He says these things. He pleads to God not to be delayed. Wow. You know God loves to forgive. God loves to forgive. God loves to heal. God loves to heal. And sometimes it's just right there. And all we have to do is ask for it. That's all we have to do is ask for it. But we don't ask. We as believers, sometimes we don't ask. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit's been working in our lives saying, listen, we have something, you have something else we need to talk about. The conviction, the Holy Spirit, as draws us to a place where we need to meet God. We need to meet Jesus. And now it's not about what we really, it's not about our harsh desires. It's about those things. It's about Jesus. If we need to talk about something. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He convicts our hearts so that we do, because it's the things that we've done in our lives. You know what? The conviction of the Holy Spirit, it is an amazing thing. It's actually a blessing. It's actually a blessing. Because without the conviction of the Holy Spirit, think about where you might be today. But the conviction of the Holy Spirit that draws us and keeps us and keeps trying to pull us and get us back on that straight and narrow road where Jesus says we ought to be. We keep walking on that. But when we stray, the Holy Spirit begins to convict and to draw us back on that straight and narrow way. But just think, if we didn't have that, we would just keep doing this. We keep doing this. And let me remind you, we get away with nothing in front of God's eyes. Even what's done in secret is seen as wide open in the eyes of God. God sees everything, every heart, every mind, and every soul. And David said, "For my troubles without number have surrounded me." My iniquities have taken me. I am unable to see. They are more than the hairs on my head. And my courage leaves me. Lord, be pleased to rescue me. Hurry to help me. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He turned to me and heard my cry for help. And He finishes it with, "You are my helper, my deliverer, my God. Do not delay." And all that David is going through, he keeps reaching out to God. My challenge for you is to keep reaching out to God, no matter how deep you are into sin, if you are, no matter where you are in your life, you need to keep reaching out to God. You need to keep reaching out. And I want to tell you, His arm is not far away. All you got to do is reach out. All you got to do is ask. All you got to do is, as the Scripture says, "Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden." And Jesus says, "I will give you rest." We're believers, most of us. Why are we making it so hard? Why do we make it so hard? It doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. And I don't think God wants it to be that way. That's how powerful sin is in our minds and our hearts and the sins that we commit. So I really don't know where you are today. This is the message that God has put upon my heart to share with this church, to challenge this church, the group that's here today, those that are here today, that if your life isn't right, it needs to be right. If you have troubles and you have sin in your life, there's only one way to deal with it, and that is to get before the Lord and take care of it. Because nothing is awesome as singing a new song. Because when you get to sing a new song, this is new. And some of you haven't heard from the Lord in a long time. Because what I say in the beginning, one of the things is sin hinders God from working in your life. And you don't hear from God. Maybe it's just time to confess it. I mean, really confess it. Yeah. Yeah. And only you know what that means. Father, as we move into this part of the service, I challenge the church. I challenge, Lord. But Lord, not really what I challenge. It's what Your Holy Spirit works through people. Only what You can do. And I pray, Father, Your will would be done in all the hearts that are here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and